title of my presentation today is A Parent Watershed Study to Assess the Effectiveness of Best Management Practices on Nutrient and Sediments in Skaneateles Lake Watershed, New York. The outline of my presentation looks like starts with background, objective, sites, materials and methods, major findings, conclusion and acknowledgement. Skaneateles Lake is a primary source of drinking water for the city of Syracuse, and the water we drink comes without filtering. And in order for a lake to maintain that water quality, it was necessary that the watershed needed agricultural best management practices. And now that the entire watershed has agricultural best management practices, we monitored the watershed to check whether or not it is effective enough in maintaining water quality. Therefore, the findings that we have are all post-BMP. We do not have any data available for pre-BMP installation. And the emphasis for this presentation is primarily on sediments and nutrient quality of water, and this research is still ongoing. The overall goal of this study was to test effectiveness of agricultural BMPs in improving water quality, and in doing so, statistical comparisons were made to between the control site. The control site here is a forested site. Since all the sites has BMP already implemented, it was difficult to find control. So we treated forest as a control site versus non-forested, that is agriculture-dominated watersheds. And they all have BMPs already implemented. And we compared total suspended sediment concentration, turbidity, nutrients that included nitrate, ammonium, dissolved reactive phosphorus. This is for currently what we are doing. We also have total nitrogen, total phosphorus, which is on our way to be analyzed. And the comparison were made between forested versus non-forested and among all the sub-watersheds. Just to show you where the site is, it's Skaneateles Lake Watershed is located at upstate New York. It's 26 kilometer long and 2 kilometer wide, and it's about 91 meter deep. It's the fourth largest Finger Lakes. The land use in this watershed consists of 48.2% agriculture, about 40.2% forest, 7% vacant and commercial, and 5% residential. Six sub-watersheds or six sites were located in this watershed, and it was based on its spatial distribution and our ability to access the private land. These are the sub-watersheds where we have our samplers. Howell Brook is primarily an agricultural watershed. It has about 71% agricultural land use. Shotwell Brook, which is in the northeast side of the lake, consists of 67% agriculture. So these two watersheds, which are located in the southern side of the lake, has more forested watershed. Deer Swamp, which has about 76% forest, and this is what we considered as a controlled watershed. And there are two sampling sites located downstream and upstream. Broadbrook Watershed, which is again a mixture of forest and agriculture, forest being about 71%. And again, we have upstream and downstream location for automated samplers here. Just to show you how these sites look like during high flow season, this is Harold Brook, Shotwell Brook, and downstream our outlet, Beer Swamp. Upstream, Beer Swamp, that's the control site, Grabbrook outlet, and Grabbrook upstream. This is when the flow is high. When flow is low, these sites look pretty dry. We sampled from beginning of April, and the sampling process is still ongoing. We'll sample until it starts snowing, probably. Automated samplers were located, were installed at the lower reaches of all sub-watersheds. There are two sub-watersheds which had upstream, downstream locations too, which I showed you earlier. 24 samples were collected using automated sampler, and it was time-paced. And out of 24 samples collected through this automated sampler, we collected five samples to represent storm hydrograph, two in the rising limb, one at peak or near peak, and two at the falling limb of the storm hydrograph. Apart from the event flow, we also collected weekly grad samples to establish base flow condition. We also have a mini weather station there. And this is how the samples look like. 5 samples, 2 in the rising, 1 at or near the peak, and 2 in the falling. The samples were taken to lab for analysis. And this is the analytical method that we used for the parameters under study. These slides show you the data flow data on flow daily flow in cubic foot per seconds for all the 6 sub watersheds, and it's interesting to see how they differ. The magnitude of the same storm has different response in each site. This is Harold Brook, which is primarily an agricultural site, Shotwell, Beer Swamp, this is outlet site, this is the forested site which was used as a control, Grabrook outlet site and ag site and outlet site. The yellow graph is the stays, and you can see the samples were collected for event and base flow conditions both. For event conditions we collected 5, and for base flow we collected 2 only. And this is the flow. Findings. We had mixed results here. The control site is this designated as BSF, and the rest are, these are ag sites. This is the outlet Grabrook site. You look at these values, there are 2 sites which did not significantly differ from the forested site, but when you look at the turbidity, mean NTU value for turbidity, Beer Swamp Forest, which is a control site, has about 4.9, and Harold Brook has 7.6, which is much higher, although this has agricultural BMPs already installed. This site has a gravel road next to the stream, and that might be one of the reasons why sediments are actually going into the stream directly, even for base flow conditions. And the other reason why there is a higher total suspended sediment concentration is during base flow, water gets really low, and that's my suspicion, that the strainer, when it picked up water from the sampler, might have picked up more sediments there. That's why you have that higher concentration here. And Grabrook Forest site, it's significantly similar as the forest, which is expected. When compared between 2 outlets, there was no difference in turbidity value, but some difference here. I mean, these 2 are different, shows by p-value. But when you look at the mean concentrations, again, there's no much difference. And these are below the EPA standards. Nitrate and ammonium concentration, all these sites were significantly different from the control site. Again, the control site is a forested site, and the other sites are ag sites, and the primary input for the nitrate is fertilizers. It doesn't mean that the ag sites is actually contributing a lot of fertilizers in there or a lot of nitrate into the stream. The value is pretty low. In case of ammonium concentration, it's only one site that showed significant difference, that is Beer Swamp agriculture site, which is downstream of Beer Swamp Forest. And when you look at these values, again, they are very low in concentration. And one of the reasons why these might be similar as the Beer Swamp Forest is, although there are residents living closer to these ag sites, the domestic wastewater is not being directly it doesn't go into the stream. That's why the ammonium concentration is low here. Just to show you how the graphs look like for total suspended sediments, the beginning of May here, total suspended sediments is higher. This was an outlier. Again, I'm not quite sure what happened here. For turbidity NTU values, it corresponds to total suspended sediment concentration. Nitrate concentration has a little mixed results. What you can see is the control is way down here, and these are treatment sites. Again, these are the ag sites, and has a little higher, relatively higher concentration, but not, it does not exceed EPA concentration. For ammonium concentration, again, these are the sites where the Beer Swamp outlet This is Beer Swamp Ag, which is the outlet site, is an active fishing site, and this is the season where when fish, you can actually stand on one of the fish. There's tons of fish in there, and might be one of the reasons why there's such a high ammonium concentration in there, because of the point source. For event flow, I'm going to skip these two slides and just want to talk how they differ by site. Turbidity value, again, here in these, for event condition or for storm condition, the agricultural sites at Tilebrook, Shotwell, Beer Swamp Outlet, and Grabrook Forest did not significantly differ, but agriculture, Grabrook Ag site, which is the upstream Grabrook site, the one that I showed you in the southern east side of the lake, significantly differed in the in turbidity. And for till suspended sediments, these all significantly differed, except for Grabrook Forest, which is expected. These two are forested sites, and they were supposed to be similar. When you look at these numbers, though, Beer Swamp Forest, which is a control site, has relatively larger till suspended sediment concentration, and also turbidity is not quite low. Now, one of the reasons why you see this larger number is there. This is an active beaver site too, so that is also contributing to these higher turbidity and till suspended sediment concentration. When compared between two outlets, they're not different. And the ag sites, Halbrook and Shotwell, again, turbidity did not differ, but there was significant difference in till suspended sediments. Again, Halbrook having higher concentration of till suspended sediments, which can be because of the gravel road next to the stream. And also, this stream is a narrow stream, and the channel cutting processes might be very fast here. It's a very flashy stream, though. When looking at nitrate concentration here, they're different for all the sites. Again, these are agricultural sites. When you look at the value here, concentration, though, Beer Swamp Forest has a higher concentration compared to Grabrook Ag. It's a little difficult to understand why there is this higher concentration. Again, that can be due to beaver activity. And ammonium concentration is it's significantly different for the agricultural sites than the Beer Swamp. But when you look at the concentration, again, they are below the EPA standards and guidelines. The Beer Swamp Outlet and Grabrook Outlet, however, are different from each other for nitrate concentration. Now, these two sites are, they have mixed land use. Beer Swamp has 76% forest and remaining is ag. But agricultural site is located downstream and forest is located upstream, whereas for Grabrook Outlet, it is the other way. Forest is located downstream and agricultural site is located upstream. And the size of the agricultural land is a little bigger than Beer Swamp Outlet, and that can be the result why you have this a little higher value of nitrate. Halbrook and Shotwell Brook did not show any difference in nitrate concentration. Now, this showed a significant difference, although the concentration is low, and the reason might be the Shotwell Brook has the houses, residents, they have really nice lawn. They may be applying a lot of fertilizer there, and there's a direct input of fertilizer into the into the Shotwell Creek. To show you how it looks like here, this was the big rain day where you can see this big spike. And comparing with the blue lines are the control, and the other lines are the treatment. Because they are high doesn't mean that they are not doing well. Same thing for turbidity. Nitrate, it's a little difficult to read here. Once again, the control site is way below here, but the concentration, overall concentration, is pretty low for stream. And although for the former slides, it's during that June 16th through 19th when you see that spike. For this side, there was a spike, this big two spikes before that big rain event. It's during the end of June, end of May and early June, and one of the biggest reason is this site, which is Beer Swamp Outlet, is it had tons of fish in there, suckers which came upstream for spawning. And the other side has three big dogs, which can be adding a lot of inputs there. Our results showed a mixed result, but it doesn't necessarily mean that agricultural BMPs are not working. They are pretty much effective when you look at concentration, and it did not exceed EPA water quality standards. Now, understanding the effectiveness of BMP implementation is not easy, and it takes long time to understand, so continuous monitoring is therefore needed. And lastly, I'd like to thank State University of New York College of Environmental Science and Forestry. I'd like to thank EPA for providing research funding, residents and farmers, Mark Berger, and Onondaga County Soil and Water Conservation District team. And thank you all.